just let you know, Dale Peterson is going to be in the country at the end of November. He's going to come and visit us, so he may come and preach for us as well if he can. So pray for him as he comes over. He's going to be working in Ireland with youth camps and things like that, so quite good. Can't hear me? Okay, Dale Peterson's coming over. Well, Hey? Oh, the children thing. Do we need to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have here a big fish, one whale, and we have some green just falling out or being spat out. And somebody, did anyone tell Joe the answer?
It was Beth.
Beth's not here. Oh, never mind. Okay, we'll save that for her though. So we'll hold them to her. And she's got Elijah out to the window. And we got a new drawing, have we?
No.
No. Oh. Okay. I'll leave that there. Never mind. No, that's okay. Well, how many of you have a bad memory? Okay, everyone's got a bad memory. You know, I can't remember if I've got a bad memory or not. But losing memory can be a sad thing. And when I was in college, they tested me for dyslexia, and they went through a memory test for me, and they said I've got a bad working memory. So I can remember short things and long things, but the way I process it, it doesn't work very well. So if you ever ask me to do something, I don't write it down, I won't remember at all. But you know, memory can be an awkward thing to do, and when we lose it, it can be embarrassing, it can be inconvenient. But really, especially when we forget things that happen in our lives, we tend to have like a library in our head, and when we forget something, we go to the book and find it's empty, and we can't remember specific things that happen. Yesterday, I went to get my mug from upstairs to make a drink. I walked up the 15 steps. By the time I got to my room, I forgot why I was there. So I went back downstairs and remembered I needed my mug, so I had to go back up again to go and get it. But it can be funny and unfortunate sometimes. I was at a birthday party yesterday. It was a one-year-old girl, Emily Stirrup. It was quite fun. I remember, you know, all the kids' parties that I went to when I was a kid. But someone asked me what my favourite verse was, and I just totally forgot. It was just oblivious because, I don't know, I was so happy with the cake and jelly and ice cream. But we get distracted as well. And it makes us embarrassed. I can't remember my favourite verse. What's going on with me? But also we forget because we neglect things that happened in the past. And we tend to only give attention to the space and time that we're in. Now that space and time may be our family, our work, our church. And those things are good, but we tend to forget the things that happened earlier on in the past, or very earlier on. We act as though that we centre on our own attention, and not only on our own time and place. We tend to think that the past is just what happened, it's just history. Yes, it is important, but let's move on, let's progress, let's take another step. And that's a good attitude to have, that we should always remember what happened and the mistakes that happened. Now, God is a proactive God. He always wants you to walk, he always wants you to get back up, he always wants you to get going all the time. And we have the resurrection to look forward to, and it's always something better ahead of us that we have. But God is still amazing, and wants us to remember as well the things that happened in the past. Now look at Genesis 50 and verse 20. Genesis 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You know, God can use the past, anything that happened in the past that's really bad, and use it for good. And that's why it's safe to remember things with God, because he can turn anything that's happened to us in the past and turn it for better. He's able to turn the bad things into good and use them for good. And sometimes we're scared of remembering, we're scared of going back, and you can easily be held back by bad things as well. But unless we go to God and we give God those things, we trust him with those things, then really it's dangerous to remember and go back. There is a principle in the Bible that we can remember, and it's very important that we do that. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and it's the day put aside to remember those who have given their lives, those who have died for peace and freedom that we have today. Now, if you're born again, we have a peace that we have, that's through Jesus Christ. I think it's John 17 there, or 14. Jesus says, "Peace I give you, peace I leave you." And you know, we have a special peace and inner peace inside us, that no matter what circumstances happen, we have that. But the thing is, if someone goes to war, it's not going to protect me from losing a job, not having peace with anything like that. And that's why we have Jesus' peace inside us, for those types of things, but also for eternity. But through God's grace and mercy, we have peace on earth through the people who go to war. We have peace from oppression and also peace from dictatorships. We have freedom to meet today. I've got freedom to preach, you've got freedom to listen, but you've also got freedom to act as well on the word of God. And that is, in a sense, why we have Remembrance Day, why we take part of it in church, because those people have allowed us to do it. And it's unfortunate, many people who do go to war are ignorant of what they're doing. They don't realise where they're going or what's happening or why they're doing it. But there are some genuine people in there who understand what freedom is and what it's about. Now, it's really those freedoms to do all those things is claimed by man. The American president, Freddie Roosevelt, he said he wanted freedom of speech and expression, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. Now, I'm not sure if he was a born-again Christian or not. I'm not too sure. Would you know, Frank, if he was a Christian? Is it wrong name? What did I say? Teddy Roosevelt, not Freddie. Okay, sorry. Teddy Roosevelt, sorry. Fosnay wasn't a Christian, but he wanted these freedoms, and you know, this is man's idea of what they want. But the thing is, God had this ideal before he did. We know that God wants peace, but the thing is, there are wars all over the world that really destroy that, or say they bring it. But today has been set to remember those who have died. Look at Genesis 9, verse 6. Genesis 9 and verse 6. Whoso sheddeth a man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And life is precious, whether they're born again or not born again, life is precious to God, because everyone was created in his image. But it's the sin that's come and disfigured man, sin has come away and separated man. Anybody know the sixth commandment? Shoot it. Seventh, that one. Sorry? Thou shalt not kill. The sixth one is thou shalt not kill. And it's a commandment of God that people shouldn't murder, because life is precious. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 9. Sorry, 2 Peter. I'm sorry. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish, doesn't want anyone to die, especially for an eternal death. And people are very precious to him. Last one, look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants people to know what the truth is that there is an eternal hell, there is an eternal place where people will be punished. But life is precious to him, and we should take that on as well. Whether it's me getting older or more sensitive, but it seems that Remembrance Sunday is getting more and more relevant to me. I think of my relevance, my relatives who were in the army or in the war. Both my grandfathers were there in the Second World War. My uncle. My sister Mel was in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, and my other sister Dawn, she was in Afghanistan. And is there anyone here who have relatives or been in the army at all, or got hands popping up every now and again? You know, we have people in the army, people who take part in these things to bring peace or to make the world a better place. And it is more relevant when we sit down and stop and think about it. But I don't know, maybe for younger people it's harder for them to understand, because yes, there's war going on, but there's no real oppression that we have in this country that, you know, they don't know what freedom, what it takes to have freedom. So there's a big effort is made for them to ask questions, for young people and children. But they have that freedom to ask questions as well. But before we carry on, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, Lord, as we look at Remembrance Sunday, Lord, we ask that you bring to mind, Lord, the freedom that we have. And that, Father God, you don't want people to die, Father God, but people are willing. But Lord, as we take time now to look at remembrance and also monuments, Father God, We're thankful, Lord, that we can stand here and sit here and be able to hear your word and preach your word. Father God, for the people in my family, Lord, who have given their lives up, Lord, and been hurt and injured, that they're willing to do that, Lord. We ask that you be with those people who aren't here this morning, Father God, that if they're sick, Lord, that they'll be resting and being healed, Father God, and seeking you. In Jesus' name, amen. So remembering, with any form of study, there's always looking at the history of something. When I was doing graphic design, we looked at the history of art, the history of printing and photography. In Bible college, you look at the history of the church, history of missions, and also Baptist history, which is very, very interesting. Maybe not. but look at go to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, and every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And when Joshua called the 12 men who had prepared them of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, And the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark, and the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the verses carry on there, but, you know, there are various memorials set up through the Bible, and this is one of them. God says specifically, set up a memorial. A couple of weeks back, we looked at Jeremiah chapter 6, and we were looking at the old paths. And God said, stand where you are, stay where you are, and look for the old paths, look for the old ways. And there's always that idea of looking back and examining yourself to remember the old ways. Now this day, the Remembrance Sunday, hasn't been ordained by Jesus, it hasn't been ordained by the church, but this is to serve and promote a value that's important throughout scriptures. That life is precious and we should always remember. And does everybody know the motto of the British Legion? For today, for Remembrance Sunday. It's at lest we forget. You heard of that? And does anyone know where that phrase come from at all? Do you know it? A poem, that's right. I can't say his name, but Rudyard Kipling, that he wrote The Jungle Book. And there's quite a few verses to it, but the first one is, God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine, Lord of God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. And it's an interesting poem because Rudyard Kipling grew up in the British Empire when it was going across all like the Commonwealth or the colonies. And it was a poem to describe how proud Britain should be with their empire. But it was also a poem that really looked at the inside of it. You know, how did Britain get its great empire? Well, it had to go through wars, it had to go through fightings, it had to go through killings. And it's an interesting poem because it looks at the both sides of remembrance. Yes, we're great. Yes, look at what we've done. But also, how did we get here? What have we messed up along the way? And if you can read it, it'll be fantastic. But that's where we get the phrase from, lest we forget. And today, for remembrance, is that yes, we remember the dead, but also remember that the cost of it as well, just like Rudyard Kipling did with his poem. But like I said, a bad memory can be inconvenient or embarrassing. But there's also a spiritual danger when we forget. If we fail in those things in our life that are significant to remember, then we can always be a failure of our faith as well. If we forget where God has brought us and is taking us, it's dangerous for us. A quote I've got, it says, Forgetfulness is said to erode our relationship with God. You know, if any husbands are wise, if you ever forget something, then really it could irritate your husband or your wife, and you know, it erodes a relationship. But the thing is, it's important that we try not to forget what God has done in our relationship. But what are you forgetting about God? What are you forgetting where God has taken you from and taken you to? In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Jeremiah 2 and verse 2. It says, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. You know, God remembers a time when Israel loved him. When you were first born again, God remembers that time. And when we step away or go away from God, he remembers that time as well, and he wants us to come back. But throughout scriptures, there are many references to monuments, with many references to feasts, especially with the Old Testament. And they're used to reinforce the memories of the people of God and what God did for them. We have the Feast of the Passover. I've got some of the other feasts. There's many other feasts that go on. You know, we have communion in the New Testament. We use that to remember. In many ways, they represent the great saving acts that God did and practiced and represented so that people wouldn't forget what God had done. But as we went through Jeremiah, you know, God was calling them back because they did forget. But thinking about Joshua again in chapter 4 and the first few verses that we read, it was one great example. Joshua was leading them to the long-awaited promised land. They had to go through Jericho, but they had to cross the River Jordan first. And they'd be in the wilderness for 40 years wandering. People died, new people were born. And the Jordan River had blocked their way, but they couldn't let it stop them. And God said that if you go across first with the ark and cross the river, he promised that they would not be swept away, but the river would stop where it was and it would be bone dry for them to cross. And as he said, as they put their foot down, they just went straight across. The ark was there in the middle though. But Joshua was told by God to build a simple monument to remember this wondrous act, this wondrous event. It was used to remind them that of their progress, of their existence, but also that they were in the hands of the living God. And how many times do we need to remember that? That we are at mercy of God for our existence, for our progress, but we're in the hands of a living God. What did you realise when you first woke up this morning? It was cold maybe, it was a bit grey and dull outside. Or did we realise that, you know, God is living today and we are at his mercy, that we are living in his controlled hands? The Passover feast that Moses introduced was for a similar purpose, especially for us. It was the Passover when the angel or the spirit moved and took away the firstborn. But they were protected by the blood of the lamb that they sacrificed. You know, we don't have to do a Passover feast because we're not under the law, we're not required to do that. But the thing is, we are required to remember what God has done for us. God insists that we remember. For the Jews, they were told to remember that Abraham was promised many children, that they were free from slavery, that God brought Israel greatness, but also the commands of the Lord as well. But look at Psalm 105 and verse 5. Psalm 105 and verse 5. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. And there are many verses in the New Testament that refer to God working through us, and we're supposed to remember them as well, but initially it's God who does those works, and we're supposed to remember them. Those people who forget what God has done fall into selfishness. That's a very dangerous state for Christians to be in. But the Americans, they have a Thanksgiving meal, Thanksgiving time. From what I know of my history, but the Americans, when they went over to America, the English, when they went over to America, they were thankful for God to bring them through the winters that they had because they struggled. And we've had American Thanksgiving here with the pickets, and some people think it's an American thing to do. We shouldn't really need to do it as British people. But the thing is, we should be thankful for God. We should be thankful for what he's done and given to our lives. But the thing is, do we ever do that? Do we ever stop and thank him? Yes, we have our prayer time. Yes, we have our time in the morning where we give praise as well, and in your own time. But the thing is, what do you do to stop and say thank you to God? When we forget about God, it's very easy for us to believe that we can make our own way without God. And we get selfish, and we tend to think we can do things ourselves. But it's important to remember. If we have nothing to remember in the first place, then we should realise that God hasn't done anything in our life, and we should go to him. I shared with the teens on Friday night, Jeremiah 29. If you want to go there, actually. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. It sorry, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." But the verse that really strikes me is verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you know, when we remember what God has done in our lives, we should do what verse 12 says. We should go to him and call up to him and pray to him as well. But he will also respond. Now, every culture and country have their memorials. The Native Americans do. The Aboriginal tribes in Australia do. But it's said that the best memorial will lift our sights above mundane affairs to the moment of the moment in order to focus our attention on the highest aspiration and accomplishments of those who have preceded us. That's a fancy quote. We'll break it down. But basically, when we stop and take a moment to reflect, we think of what's happened. We think of what's happened and where we are now. And we stop and think, you know, is it worth it? Were those lives worth what's happening? Remember the poem by Rudyard Kipling, "Lest We Forget." You know, there's a flip side to remembering. It's where we are now and how we've got here. But when we take moments to reflect, to remember those times, we stop at the mundane things. You know, the trouble of work, the traffic getting into church and things like that. We stop at those things. But we look at the aims that started the whole point of remembrance. You know, what aim is it that God wants us to have, that no man should perish? And when we stop and look at God, we think that's amazing because God doesn't want anyone to die. And we need to remember how he did that. How did he accomplish it? Well, he did it through sending his son to die on the cross. So when we stop and remember, there are many things that we need to consider. Many people today will go to a war memorial. I know my sisters are, or my sister is. If you go to the war memorial on Cannock Chase, you know, it's hard not to be affected by all the amount of graves that are there, about the stories behind them as well. In Cannock Chase, there's a grave or memorial for four Zeppelins that crashed and the whole crew died. And to think that, you know, there's about 20 men per crew and there's four big slabs with all the 20 names on each slab. It's hard to think of what they went through and what they were doing. But further along on the chase is the gravesite with many people from Canada and America and Africa who all fought. And many of them are younger than me who died, which is quite shocking. But memorials are there to remember, to go back and reflect. But also they can be used to cover up things that have happened that shouldn't be covered up. An impressive monument can put dignity over something that's questionable. Things that do not do any service for any truth are only there for flattery. Memorials can end up being greater than the person or the people it's supposed to honour as well. Michelangelo was asked to do a sculpture of Pope Julius II. And apparently Pope Julius II was one of the worst popes ever to exist because of what he did. But yet he was employed because he was a great artist to make a great memorial to try and cover up all the things that he messed up with. We like our memorials to make us feel comfortable, to reassure us, and also not disturb us or not make us uncomplacent. Sometimes thinking about the past means escaping the problems that we have in the present as well. But the thing is, what memorials do we set up to hide those things? Hopeful memories do not drag us into the past and keep us there. But we use God as a form of remembrance, and the thing is, there's always hopeful memories there. Communion is one of those things. It doesn't glorify our past, but it glorifies God. And if you look at communion, there's image of deceit, there's image of betrayal, cruelty, and that's really only on our part as well, let alone Judas, when it refers to it in the scriptures. But the thing is, we can easily put them on ourselves. Like the poem, there are two sides of remembrance. There's those who have sacrificed, those who have given up their life for the sake of others, but also the latter reason, the sacrifice and the reason why Jesus died on the cross. In communion, we've got the Lord's Supper, or it is the Lord's Supper, and we see the promise of Jesus Christ coming again. Look at Mark 14, verse 25. Mark 14 and verse 25. "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." With this particular remembrance, it not only points to the past, but also points to a promised future. And that's where remembrance should take us, to a future. It shouldn't let us willow, it shouldn't let us be sorrowful, but it always should encourage us to go and go for a promised future. In communion, our past and our future are made in one reality to us by simply trusting Jesus Christ with our lives. With today, with Remembrance Sunday, it's proper to think of those who have died. But for those who are Christians, it's not exclusive exercise to look back and think and dwell on the things that have happened, but think about the promised future that we have. We do believe that there are more wondrous things to come, but we know, as scriptures say, towards the end times, there's going to be more wars, there's going to be more trouble, and there's going to be more sorrow. But we live in the light of resurrection, and we believe that death isn't the end. And I think about one of my sisters, Dawn. She'll be going to the memorial service because she was in the army. And she's going to go there all sorrowful, and she's going to come back still sorrowful just as much. She's got no hope, she's got no promised future. And the thing is, as Christians, we have a memorial. We can go back and look at Jesus Christ and what God has done, but we come back different. And, you know, we're totally different to the rest of the world today, or we should be, because we have a promised hope. Today, maybe taking this to an extreme, it's like a national funeral. We should take part in it, but the thing is, there should be hope there as well. But many people out there are not understanding what they can have. There was a man called Clarence Jordan. I'm not too entirely sure about his history, but it's a popular story. At his funeral, there was a two-year-old girl, and all she could sing was Happy Birthday on his funeral. And people were crying, people were saying, how can she do this? But she understood that this man, his death was just a new beginning, it wasn't an end. Death is not an end, but a new beginning for those who trust in Jesus Christ. I like how Paul uses the idea of death in Corinthians. He says, our body's like a seed, and when we're dead, we're asleep in a sense, but we're resurrected, we're like a seed, we're grown again and brought out new. But remembering is important. Moses remembered, Miriam, his sister, remembered many good things. Mary as well, she sang a song about remembering what God has done for her. It's always important that we remember. What position are you in to remember? Can you look back at your life and recognise a place where God did something amazing, mainly salvation? Can you look back and see a monument in your life? Joshua was told to get every tribe to pick up a stone. Every type of person is to take part in remembrance. God wants everyone to take part in remembrance of him, in the victory of God. But what do you remember about God? And now, I'm not saying you need a date of salvation in your Bible or anything like that, but what do you remember what God has done in your life? How he's changed you progressively or instantly? Look at Romans 8, verse 37. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If you're born again Christian and you look back in your life, you should be able to see the hope as well. If I wasn't a Christian in my state, then I would come away feeling not very hopeful at all. But the thing is, it says there in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. To the world, Christians have no hope. We're just having a social time that makes us feel better, feel good. But the thing is, we are conquerors, and people don't realise that. But life can get tough, life can get hard, and life can certainly feel like a battle as well. You may be going through something at the moment, through your own battle, but we need to remember that we are more than conquerors. That when we get in a moment where we think we can't go on anymore, we start thinking about what's happening in the past. We should have that hope and remind us that we are more than conquerors. When you look back at your life, can you also see hope that you've put your trust in Jesus Christ? When you look at what's going on in your life, you're thinking of the worldly things, can you see that hope? What about when you die? But the problem is sometimes today we're so occupied by the stuff that's going on in our space and time is that we cannot see past that hope or look any further anyway. But Jesus offers a chance to get those things away, to trust in him and to realise that we can become conquerors, that we can become victorious through him. If you're a Christian, I hope you can remember when you saw that there was no hope for you. But at the same time, you can see that hope that he gave you. If you're not a Christian, then really that hope that you have isn't there. And any remembrance you have is going to be sorrowful. But you can turn that into praise. Like I said, Miriam sung a song, Mary sung a song, and also Moses as well. They turned their remembrance into songs. You know, can you look back at your life and turn something into a song? I like some of the songs. Many songs are quite depressing because they have no hope, but you know, songs should bring joy, songs should be used for praise. And I hope you can do that. But there's going to come a time when remembering our past is going to be too late, whether there's going to be no hope and it's going to be unbearable. If you think about the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, you know, when he remembered he had an opportunity and he remembered his family, but he was in torment. Instead of being like a rich man, we should be like the thief on the cross, wanting Jesus Christ to remember us to be in paradise. But with those stones in Joshua, we were told to carry, or they were told to carry. Everybody should take part in remembrance, and we cannot ignore it. They were told to make a memorial. But as a Christian, what is our memorial? As Christians, we're told to have separate lives, to be separated from our old life. But surely there should be a memorial there to make us remember what God has done. We have memorials in the street or in cemeteries where we can go physically and pay remembrance to different things. You can certainly go to the closet in prayer. You could also come to church as a memorial as well. But when we come to praise God, perhaps we don't come with the hope that we should have because we cannot see it. We want to point to the bravery of men today and the loss of men as well. But the thing is, we still have a memorial that we can go to as Christians. Today we can go to the love of God and point to it as well. And we have that through the cross. It's a memorial. It's a place of sorrowful and mourning, but also a place of hope at the same time. It turns the sorrow into something that we can learn, that we can improve and also use. But where is your monument? Can you see the cross as your monument? Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. I looked at this verse a couple of weeks back. Colossians 2 and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also, ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Again, the cross is our monument. The cross is the place that we should go to when we feel sorrowful, but also be reminded that we are more than conquerors as well. Looking at Jeremiah, he should always take us back to God. Take us to him to pray and to praise him, and he will hear us. For the last verse, look at Joshua chapter 4 and 24. Joshua 4 verse 24. Our monument should tell people, it should tell that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. That is what our monument should tell people. But how are we doing that? And Jesus asks us to carry our cross, but the problem is we're carrying our cross stuck in a remembrance where we don't like to remember or don't like what's happened. But our cross should tell people that God is mighty and that, you know, people should fear him. He is living, he is alive, and we should remember him. So think about today as we go along for Remembrance Sunday. I don't know if you watch the Remembrance service on TV, but I think it's a great time. It's a great, interesting program, what goes on and Remembrance. But the thing is, remember that we have a monument every day that we look at. Because in our sinful state, we have no hope. But the thing is, we have hope through Jesus Christ. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I'm thankful for today, Lord, and the opportunity to remember. But Lord, I'm more than thankful, Lord, for giving me that hope when I do remember. That though my sins, Lord, would separate me from you, you sent your Son to die on the cross and nail them there, so nothing is against me. But Father God, for today, Lord, we ask that you'll be with those people who have lost members of family to war, those people who have been injured, those people who have felt forgotten, Lord, and unappreciated, Lord, for what they've done. Father God, I pray, Lord, they'd find hope. I pray, Lord, that they would find you as their Saviour, Father God, and that they could look at a different monument, not one that reminds them of the time in war, Lord, or of killing and murder. But Father God, I'm thankful today, Lord, for Dave, Lord, and his message he's brought forward, Lord, and the burden you have he's given you. But Lord, as we go this morning, Lord, we ask that we do remember those things that we need to take up our cross, Lord. Not only to die to ourselves and live for you, but Father God, as a monument, Lord, that we can point to and that people can see that you're mighty. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.